Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Jane Landon to the broadcast. Since January of 2007, Jane has been Deputy Commissioner and CIO for the New York City Department of Finance. The Department of Finance is responsible for collecting city revenues. As CIO, Jane is responsible for all systems and technology supporting the agency's 20 divisions. Prior to joining the Department of Finance, Jane was the General Manager and CIO for Microsoft's WW Public Sector, where she was responsible for process and technology supporting that business segment. Prior to that, she was the General Manager of .NET Market Development. She and her team were responsible for developing .NET's market presence in the Fortune 100 and Global 100 enterprise customer marketplace. Prior to joining Microsoft, Jane worked for Prudential Financial, where she was the CIO for the company's institutional division. In this role, she was responsible for all systems and technology that supported the six businesses in the division. Prior to that position, Jane ran all new application development for the retail insurance division at Prudential. Jane has also held key technology positions at Bankers Trust Company and at Chase Manhattan Bank. Jane has a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration from the State University of New York at Fredonia. I recently caught up with Jane by phone in her office in Manhattan, where our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, people, as we discussed Jane's unique career path and the way in which she has managed her own career, Principle 3, project and portfolio management, as we discussed portfolio management processes and metrics that she has introduced in her job, as well as a variety of other topics. Jane Landon, thank you for joining us on the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you for inviting me to speak on this forum.
Great. Well, Jane, I've been looking forward to this interview. Of the 30 or so interviewees we've had to date, you're the first in government, in this case city government. Not that you've always worked in government, and we'll get to some of your other experiences shortly, but I wonder if you can start our interview by describing your role as the Deputy Commissioner and Chief Information Officer of the New York City Department of Finance.
Absolutely, but I'd first like to just give you a little context on what is the New York City Department of Finance. Very often individuals think that I'm responsible for the technology that runs our general ledger, but that's not the case. The Department of Finance is actually the agency for the city that is responsible for bringing in the major portions of the revenue, being the business taxes, property taxes, as well as transfer taxes and the like. Mm-hmm. We're responsible for bringing in $24 billion a year on the systems that I support. And the agency is made up of 16 different divisions. So I have responsibility for all of the technology, both the software, production operations, as well as the infrastructure that supports this agency. Mm-hmm. And when I first joined the agency 2.5 years ago, there were three separate and distinct IT organizations. And part of my first, 90 days was to bring those three organizations together and then over time restructure the IT organizations for efficiency in supporting the agency.
Excellent. Well, I wonder if you can take a few moments and talk a little bit about your priorities going forward. You've talked a bit about what you've done since you've joined. As you think about the future, what sorts of things do you have planned that you can speak about at least?
Well, some of the things that are underway, and certainly as I look into the next few years, are extensive modernizations of some of our core systems here. Mm-hmm. If I give an example of our tax system, the system that handles property tax, which is responsible for bringing in $14 billion of the revenue of the 24, that's a 40-year-old system.
Wow.
We have a consolidated billing engine, and that's a 30-year-old system.
Yes.
And so there is major effort going on to examine the technology, document the business rules, relook at the business processes, and modernize our system so that we've got a good, stable platform for the next 30, 40 years going into the future.
That makes a lot of sense.
In addition, as I look at setting priorities, this is quite a change. So when you have a legacy environment that's that old, there is a tremendous effort in getting the organization up to speed on best class and world class application development. Mm-hmm. And ready for change like this, because they've been twisting the knob to the left 15 degrees and 10 degrees to the right 15 degrees for the last 30 years.
Right.
And I'm talking about major overhaul and replacement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you know, getting the organization to be ready for that is both a challenge and an opportunity.
Yes, I imagine.
Something that's really rewarding.
And can you talk about how you've prepared the organization for that? You make a great point that, and it's certainly, I guess, the stereotype of government, whether city or state or federal for that matter, that change doesn't come quickly. How have you prepared the organization for this sort of change in an environment where presumably, and as you say, the change isn't something that necessarily happens on a day-to-day basis?
Well, you know, it's been an ongoing and is still an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
To actually, you know, prepare the organization. Change, I'm sure as you well know, major cultural change is probably a 5-year process. So I'm about midway through in that 5-year process.
Right.
But I'll tell you some of the things that I have done in the organization. One is, you know, implement some just what I would call foundational things, like
mm-hmm.
a software development life cycle.
Yes.
And methodology.
Mm-hmm.
And to actually ensure that we have metrics for project and program management.
Yes.
I've brought on some new resources into the organization.
Oh.
And to help in that way. And with regards to just the new technology, we've brought in mentors into the organization to help. So we've made acquisitions. We made some acquisitions of technology that were, you know, at the foundation for moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than just, you know, hiring a boatload of consultants to build out what we want the staff to be participating in that so there's not a transition back. And
mm-hmm.
so that has been part of the activity. The other thing is that we've taken smaller business applications that are not quite as risky as these ones that bring in $14 billion a year, one that brings in $6 billion a year, and we're letting individuals cut their teeth on managing projects, managing the IT, and learning the new technology on some smaller projects that are a little bit less risk.
That's wonderful.
So that's part of the transition. But I, you know, culturally, the change is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But as the first deputy would tell you here is, our IT organization hadn't had change in 20 years, and then within the first 6 months, I think Jane changed and restructured the organization 6 times.
Wow.
And so I literally, in preparing them for change, have continued to move the pace of change and
mm-hmm.
to try to break down some of those cultural norms and values, like the number of people who report to me makes me important, as opposed to the value that I deliver
Very
makes
good.
Me important.
Yes.
So that was why we did the shift. It was to actually just break down some of those mental barriers and to let people know that, you know, change was not something that ruins your career. Change was something that was actually helpful, and that the learning experiences would help us in the long term.
That's great, and I think I'm hearing you as you talk about the managing to outcomes and making sure you're managing to value as opposed to some of the other ways of thinking in the past, that
mm-hmm.
this underscores the need for better metrics, as you alluded to, and you must certainly have instituted some new ways of measuring performance as a result of that.
Absolutely. you know, I consider myself blessed with regard to that change. I think the current administration has been driving kind of a results-oriented, mm-hmm. metrics-oriented culture change. So,
yes.
So I actually think we're pretty well on our way from an agency perspective, from an IT perspective. Mm-hmm. Since I've come on board, we have, you know, implemented metrics and a balanced scorecard for our division.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has actually been growing in nature. It's
That's
easy
great.
To start with some of the operational,
mm-hmm.
And then you get some of the more esoteric, which is measuring the satisfactions of mm-hmm. The other division members and mm-hmm. the leadership to the services that we provide.
That's great.
And ensuring that the organization, you know, is customer focused in terms of customers being the other divisions.
Yes.
Sometimes the outside, but we participate in that, but we don't lead that.
Yes.
Usually other, you know, areas in the agency. But
yes.
We've gone from probably, you know, when I started, 5 or 6 metrics to about 300 metrics that we measure
wow.
on a monthly basis. And I've implemented for the agency as a whole a balanced portfolio scorecard that's up and online and available for the entire agency. So we started as an agency when I joined
mm-hmm.
at probably, I think it was about 5 constant, very high-level metrics to
yes.
over 3,500 metrics that are measured across the entire agency.
My goodness.
The division.
Really incredible.
It's good. It actually starts helping focus people on their accountabilities
mm-hmm.
and then on what are the results you're getting, not what are the transactions that occur on any given day.
Great points. I'd like to switch gears a little bit. You came to government from the private sector. You
yes.
worked at companies like Burroughs and Wang Laboratories, Chase, Bankers Trust, Prudential, and most recently at Microsoft. And I'm wondering how did you decide to pursue a role in city government after working for so many corporate heavyweights?
Well, I actually was tapped by a friend who asked me if I would be interested in having had some experience working with government in my early career,
both
at Burroughs and Wang Laboratories.
Uh-huh, yes.
you know, I would like to say it's because I can at this point in my career. I love New York City, and I really wanted to be able to make a difference.
That's
and,
great.
And I'm having that opportunity. As long as I can actually create value in my role,
yes.
I will stay here.
That's great. That's really great. Yeah, so you felt a calling at this point in your career to help the
exactly.
city.
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
I'm also a person who loves a really good challenge.
I see.
and so by nature, I knew that there would be challenges.
Yes.
But I'm not a good Maytag repair person who just can watch.
Oh, that's great. Well, I can you talk a little bit about what your past experiences for some of the corporations I just mentioned in the private sector, how that has helped guide you as you've thought about some of the activities you've undertaken in your current position?
Sure. Okay. So if I go all the way back to when I graduated college, just a quick little story.
Sure, please.
The first time I ever saw a computer screen was in my first interview, and it was with a company that's no longer around. It was Lanier. But as soon as I saw the technology, I knew that's what I wanted to do. Now, I was a business degree.
Uh-huh.
That's what I have is a business degree.
I see.
And I did some programming and stuff in college, but
yes.
it was not my major, you know. Information technology wasn't that.
Right.
And I was just so enamored by a screen that I decided I have to work with technology many years ago. I'm not a little kid. So that's how I ended up at Burroughs Corporation.
I see.
And that's where I got exposure in government was my career at Burroughs Corporation.
Uh-huh.
At Wang Laboratories, I had an opportunity to work with financial services, and as the person who hired me at Chase Manhattan Bank
uh-huh.
Like to say is we had a problem with one of our vendors, so we hired her. And I think, you know, that probably was the tipping point in my career, because rather than kind of wandering in the desert, it was probably within my first year
mm-hmm.
of being with Chase that, you know, I kind of decided I wanted to be a CIO.
I see.
Having made the transition into the other side of the fence, from the vendor side, just kind of a support to customers, to a management role in their emerging technologies organization. And so I set forth a 10-year plan and was lucky enough to get there in 9.
Wow.
But I, you know, some of my career decisions, for example, Bankers Trust was a very interesting role. I ran their global corporate systems, mm-hmm. but that was an experience that I did to actually fill out my career portfolio and actually get some mainframe management experience, right? I had not had that at all at Chase because I was in all new technologies, emerging technologies.
Understood.
But went there. With Prudential actually, when I joined Prudential, mimics very much the kind of cultural challenges that I have today.
I see.
It was a not a public company at the time. It was a mutual company.
Mm-hmm.
And as I like to say, a mutual company that ran itself, that looks very much like a nonprofit organization.
I see.
Because revenue and expenses should be equal, but you've got to be forward-looking and looking into the future to actually make sure that you're not going to cross the line at some point in time. And they mm-hmm. were actually a few years from crossing the line.
I see.
And so the 5 years I spent there was preparing the organization and making much of the IT and operational changes required to prepare the company to go public.
Yes. I see.
And Microsoft was banging on my door because I had a very, 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 very broad financial services background.
Yes.
And they were looking for someone to actually fill a very senior role in financial services. And,
mm-hmm.
and after a year of banging on my door, I actually decided to take them up on the roof.
It was a tough
so I
sell.
Actually stepped back to the other side of the fence, back onto the vendor side of the fence, and,
yes.
and spent 3.5 years, with Microsoft.
Yes,
and actually did a business role for my first 2.5 years, which was a general manager for worldwide .NET market development, which is .NET is their enterprise platform for software development.
Yes.
And was an interesting challenge. Succeeded the goals that they had set forth for me, but
mm-hmm.
I had not wanted to live in Redmond, Washington. And
I was
living in a condo in Redmond, Washington, and really wanted to come back to New York, which is where my husband was
mm-hmm.
living. And so after doing 3.5 years of living on an airplane, I decided that I would come back to New York and pursue opportunities here.
I see. Well, that's great. Well, having worked for financial services companies who are, at least as an industry, often companies that understand the value of technology quite well, and of course Microsoft, my goodness, a company that of all companies understands the power of technology as well as any of them. How has that transition to government been? Have you found that people embrace technology, have a keen understanding as to what technology can do on behalf of the organization more broadly speaking?
I think that's part of the challenges. It's in individual pockets, and certainly under this administration, there's leadership that understands the value of
yes.
technology.
I see.
And some of the things that I'm trying to accomplish while I am here
mm-hmm.
are how do you take an organization that's 15 years behind in technology
mm-hmm.
and propel them forward in 5 years to hop over and at least get into the 21st century. And I don't tend to have the same kind of thing that you would have in financial services, because in financial services as a CIO, you're really almost in product development.
Yes.
And the same thing with a Microsoft, right?
You
know,
good point.
It's not the traditional CIO role, because almost all of your products and services are delivered through technology.
Exactly. Exactly right.
But, you know, there is clearly the pressure of
mm-hmm.
the constituents today of having, you know, transparency in government, having
mm-hmm.
information made available, taking down some of the bureaucracy
mm-hmm.
and making it easier to do business with the city, all things that the city is trying to accomplish.
Yes.
And so, you know, I'm very active in not only within my agency, but some additional activities. I chair a technology subcommittee that crosses and spans multiple agencies for small and medium businesses, which is creating a portal that actually, what I would say, is turns the skin of the city inside out, which says, the customer doesn't care how we're organized. They just want to get something done.
Exactly.
And so behind the scenes, you know, if it has to traverse across four or five agencies, that should be our problem, not their problem.
Right, right.
And so we're building out a portal to make it easier to do business with within the city. And like I said, I chair the technology committee there, and we're driving those kinds of changes.
Well, that's great.
Right here in finance.
That's fantastic. And the other members of the committee, is it also tech-centric people within those other agencies?
It literally started out as I handled customer account integration because I had done that in financial services, both at Chase Manhattan Bank and done that at Prudential. Mm-hmm. That's where we started out. But as the actual execution got underway, mm-hmm. we literally reorganized all of the committees that were involved in this work and established an IT committee to just manage the projects, you know, overall going forward. So
I see.
Just kind of a little change. They had many business people involved looking at the you know, process reengineering, legal, to make sure that we covered the legal side. So the project itself is a very, very large project for the city overall.
I see. Well, great. Well, Jane, this has been a fascinating conversation, understanding how you've leveraged your varied and very significant experiences at a lot of great companies now and applying them to city governments and some of the tremendous changes that you've undertaken in an arena that at least historically has not been known for an ability to change quickly. So it sounds like you've done good things and you've got a lot of interesting challenges ahead.
And I'm having real fun all the way along.
Well, wonderful to hear that. That's fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT.
Okay, thank you.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. This forum has been created so that we might have a series of discussions with a variety of IT leaders to understand, evaluate, and define world-class performance as it relates to Meta Strategies' five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. If, however, systems and hardware work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development to quality assurance through to support and all of the other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming crucial to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our sound editor is Chris Davis, our web editor is Christian Dooley, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.